Pickaxe.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Jetzt nur du, dein Podcast und eine leckere Auszeit. Ab zu Aldi Nord. Für 2,99 € bringst du deine Mittagspause mit Sushi ins Rollen. Lecker. Und für 1,99 € gönnst du dir danach noch eine kleine Eiszeit. Bei Aldi Nord findest du immer das Passende. Klingt gut? Dann probier die Snacktime Sushi Box ab 205 Gramm für nur 2,99 € oder Mucki Sandwich Eis je 8 Stück für nur 1,99 €. Das ist Gutes für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Jetzt in deiner Filiale. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Triforce podcast. That's right, with me, Lewis, your favorite just a millennial, P-Flax, who is the world's truest boomer, and Sips, who is probably uncategorizable. He just went and got his driving license renewed.
That's right.
Congrats. Did you have to queue up at the DMV for like 12 hours?
I did, and I had to do an eye test, and I
We don't
I
have
failed
a DMV
it.
In this country. We have the DVLA.
So I got.
I don't think they even have that on Jersey. Sips just said he went to the village hall or something.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I had to get a heavy goods license because I've got to transport my hog everywhere I go.
Your hog?
My fucking dogger.
You've got a gigantic German sausage. You're just...
Guys, it's been 2 weeks since we had a podcast. Normally, yes. Lewis gets very excited when we have a big gap between podcasts because everybody has so many stories to tell, experiences and stuff like that. So in the past 2 weeks, have either of you guys done anything noteworthy, like other than like your usual stuff or what? Because like I had done nothing.
I did have an interesting thought yesterday.
Right.
Okay, no, let's go with that. Start with that. Right. Start with the interesting thought. I think that's what it is. This is like old men shower thoughts.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When you look down in the shower and you look at yourself and you're disappointed.
You're ever in the shower for a while and you're thinking about stuff and you lose track of time. And then all of a sudden you look at your hands very pruny and you're like, how fucking long have I been in here for? And all you're
like
thinking about is like, I wonder what kind of bush would look good on the side of my house or whatever. But that has taken 4 hours of thinking. Oh. You know what I mean? Are you guys at that point in your life?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, same.
Well, I mean, I think that might be because you love, you've been playing Planet Zoo, I noticed.
Man,
and whenever I tune into your stream, you are building a wall. There is some sort of wall being built, like an oriental wall or a stone wall.
Oh, yeah. Did you see the palace that I created?
Yeah.
The oriental, man.
I can't believe that you managed to like create something so, I mean, obviously.
Incredible.
I don't know whether to put it down to them building really good tools or you just being,
a really good tool myself, yeah.
It's
hard to distinguish. Yeah,
I don't know. I think I don't think about home decoration when I'm in the shower.
I do a little bit. I never get around to actually doing any home decoration because I'm pretty lazy. But I think about it a lot. Like I think about how I would like my house to look, but I never put into motion anything to make it look like that.
Well, mostly because home decoration is what you do once you have a tidy house. And I feel like my place is like, my flat is always, there's always mess to clean up. So before I have like, you know, I have to pick up all the dirty clothes off the floor and do all the washing up and put the washing in. And then I'm like, okay, I'm done. That's the limit at which I stop thinking about it. I think people who have like your parents, you always have this lovely tidy house. They're thinking about loft conversion. They're thinking about building a conservatory. They're thinking about, maybe we should do another fence in the garden. But you have to start from like a baseline, you know, there. I can't even hold the capacity in my brain to think about improving.
My place looks like a Rainbow Six Siege map.
I was gonna say a prop hunt map after a few grenades.
It looks like the SWAT team invaded and some like flashbangs were thrown in my living room, and there's, oh my God, there's crap everywhere all the time. Yeah,
it's great though.
Except for on a Tuesday, because we get, the house is cleaned on a Tuesday.
Our cleaner comes today. She's probably here now. And the kids come home from school and the house is spotless for like an hour. Yeah. I'm just like, keep it like this.
Yeah.
Then it's knee deep.
Yes. Literally within an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. But it goes from being spotless to being the garbage compactor in Star Wars within the space of like an hour.
I'm the little tentacle creature.
You just hope that the walls aren't closing in because you're going to have like
Buzz
Lightyear.
I'm the little tentacle under the water, pops up.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that one of the kids or is that like an alien?
Something touched my leg. It could be a child.
Oh man, Planet Zoo is so good.
Oh,
it's great. It isn't perfect though. It crashes a bit. There's a couple of bugs and stuff.
Yeah,
it's just come out
from Duncan that he had like a flamingo or whatever in a pool of water and it died of dehydration.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Literally in a pool of water. Yeah, he was complaining a bit about it, but he's been addicted to it
too.
I suppose that's it.
I have a hippo enclosure where part of it is It's amazing because you can use scenery to build bridges that staff will use, which I think is amazing. Like they programmed it to the AI for staff to recognize bits of scenery that you might be using as a bridge and they'll cross it, because my hippo enclosure is water with like little islands. Okay. Because the hippos can swim, right? So like I figured, okay, cool. They'll go in, swim, make it to the other islands or whatever. But at first I didn't have little bridges. So the islands were isolated and they were covered in shit. Like the hippos would swim over there and shit all over these islands. And then constantly the game would be complaining about this enclosure being like a disease risk and there's shit everywhere and stuff. So I built these bridges so that the keepers could go in, cross the bridges and suck up all the shit from the islands, right? But what happened is also there's like a shallow bit of water that the hippos used to cross over to get to these islands. That's full of shit too. There's just shit everywhere. So like, I can't clean it up. It's like a nuclear waste
like a
dump
toxic-
now. Yeah. It's just like, I can't do anything with it. It's just going to be like that forever.
We need a super fund to cover, like sort out the site.
Yeah.
And like fucking Chernobyl, this zone.
It's a bad one. Yeah. So,
oh my God.
Yeah.
So no, I went on holiday. As a result, I installed Apple Arcade.
Right.
Have you heard of this? It's like this subscription service that Apple have added to like games. I think I get the impression it's Apple's answer to having all those shitty fucking microtransaction wanky exploitative games.
All of them. Every mobile game is like,
because what they've done is they've added this subscription and it's relatively cheap, I think. It's like £6 a month or something. And you get like 100, I'm not kidding, mostly completely wank mobile games, but because they've been sort of paid for or whatever by Apple Arcade, because Apple, I guess Apple have just thrown money at all of them to say, do you want to be in Apple Arcade? We'll give you $100,000 or whatever each.
Yeah.
They have said, but to be in this, you have to have no microtransactions. And so a lot of the games obviously were in development. Like people were like making a mobile game. They were thinking, oh, how am I going to get this publicized? You know, what am I going to do? It's full of microtransactions. And they've had to like pull all that out at the last minute. But it's still got all of that either kind of half-assed, wanky, mobile, microtransaction-y bullshit in there. And so a lot of these games are just... they're just shit. It's so funny. It's like they're so like unfinished or like bad or like just really like base stock Unity assets, or like weird like unfinished UI. And some of them are just like shit. Like one of them is called like fucking Word Worm or something, and it's like literally like a stock image of like a Shutterstock image of a cat comes up, and you have like a fucking letters on the screen, and you just have to join the letters CAT.
Right?
And it's like, how is this a fucking, do you know what I mean? It's like, how has that made it into Apple Arcade? You know, I thought it was going to be a little bit more premium than that. But they have obviously attracted some legitimate, decent-ish games in there. And I've played a few that have been good.
Do you know what it reminds me of? You used to be able to buy these cassette tapes that were 100 games on one tape, or like a Super Nintendo thing. It was like 100 games on this cartridge.
Oh my god, it does remind me of that.
Remember the remember when game demos were like much bigger than they are now in popularity? Like, remember you used to buy a PC gaming
PC
magazine
Gamer,
or whatever?
PC Zone, for the demo.
You used to get a CD with, I'm not even kidding, like 500 demos.
It was
on
crazy. Most of them were garbage, but there'd be a demo for like the demo for Duke Nukem 3D. That was a whole level.
Yeah.
And that was unbelievable. And I played that over and over and over again.
Same. I played it a lot, yeah.
And Worms. There was a demo of Worms. When I was at university, this was the first year of university, I got the demo for Worms on the PC. And I was the only one in the house that had a PC. So I installed it on there. And all the other lads in the house I was living in would break into my room when I was out to play Worms. Because if I was out, they're like, well, we still want to play Worms. So they would break into my house, to my flat, right? Or my room in the building we were in. Because we were in like, we weren't in halls. We got a whole house. And over the course of the months, I had no idea they were doing this. Over the course of the months, there was the windowsill under the main window facing the street had a big hole in it. And I was like, oh no, the wood must have rotted away just with the damp, because it was a crap house. So I was like, oh God, I have to pay for that. Only several years later did my best mate, Simon, reveal to me that he, climbing in through the window, had put his foot through the windowsill and crunched it and never told me. Because they would sneak in and play worms. Sneak in. Because one of them would climb in and let the rest in. They'd all play Worms. And then I guess one of them would keep watch. I was like, you could have just asked, like, just say, can we play Worms and just leave your door unlocked? I mean, it wouldn't have been a problem. But it was so weird.
Then
they blew it. Because one time, for a joke, they hid a load of potatoes around the room. Because me and Mrs. F were at university together. So they had a bag of old potatoes and they hid them all over our room, including in her underwear drawer. She was livid. She was beyond livid.
Nice.
So that was that.
Well, is it not one of those cases where, so I thought the story was going to go that you didn't find them all. And,
oh, no, well, you know, we found
like
them all. Because once we found one, Mrs. F was like, I can't sleep in here till we found all these potatoes. I was like, fine. Found them everywhere.
It's like the chicken in the back seat, you know, classic, like just forgotten about, or put a fish in someone's glove compartment. Like, oh.
My friend stored a half-eaten Burger King burger in his glove compartment one time. This was during a road trip. We took a road trip to Montreal. It's not really a road trip. It's a 2-hour drive from Ottawa to Montreal to go see Monday Night Raw wrestling live. He was hungover and sick, and to cure this, decided to eat a Burger King burger in a moving car, ate half of it, and then put the other half in the glove compartment, and it was there for like a week. I think he just forgot about it. Ugh.
Yeah. Oh my god!
His car stunk of burgers forever after that.
Well, the thing is, like, if you wanted to take revenge on someone in that way, like, I read a horrible one, which always gives me nightmares, which is like someone getting like a tub of like fish paste and then like just a paintbrush and just painting it like, you know, in the door cracks, you know, like behind the door in the hinges, you know, where you can't easily get to, and like on the inside of plug sockets. Do you know what I mean? Like the kind of places where the FBI like unscrews when they're looking for, you know, drugs or something, you know, these like inside the panel, inside the fridge, you know, that you don't think it comes off the fridge door or whatever, but you can get it in there, you know, these kind of places.
Yeah.
Clever, right? Oh, ingenious.
Yeah. I really like
that. I know that was it, El Chapo, or one of those lads that had a bathtub, and under the bathtub there was an escape tunnel.
Yes.
So yeah, the bathtub was like a pneumatic lift thing. So it would go, and you climb down the tunnel and then close the bathtub over the top of you. I thought that was pretty clever.
Yeah, and they'll find it in the movie by like, there'll be the detective like at the end of his tether, and he's like drunk, and he's like, and he knocks like the whiskey bottle on he's looking at himself in like the bathroom mirror, and he knocks the whiskey bottle, or he punches the mirror and he punches his face and his face cracks.
Yeah.
And it knocks like a glass of water, a glass of whiskey on the floor.
Yeah, he's so frustrated that he can't crack the case.
And then the whiskey rolls to the edge of the bath, and then you hear his trickling.
Yeah, and then
he turns and music starts. Or something.
He has that moment of clarity all of a sudden.
And then montage of them lifting up the bathtub, and then they're can't find the lads down in the tunnel. I don't know what that music was.
That's the movie I gotta watch. That sounds great.
Yeah,
imagine that you're watching a movie, you're getting all engrossed and stuff. There's this like amazing part coming up. He just discovers that like it was Hitler all along, and then
like RoboCop music.
What instrument even is that?
If you took a dramatic moment for a movie and put that music over the top of it, I think that would improve it somewhat. Big drum beat.
Yeah,
where you go.
You gotta have a huge drum beat for that.
Yeah,
I think the thing I'm most looking forward to at Christmas actually is watching back like good movies. You know, like really rewatchable movies like Back to the Future. You know, Lord of the Rings, Jurassic Park. You know, the classics, man. Like I want to just do a back to back of like lazy movies on Christmas, man.
I'm already done with Christmas. Honestly, they've already started playing the music and stuff in the stores, and I'm just like, I'm done. I hate it.
I haven't really noticed about like them playing the music in stores and stuff and seeing the decorations. Oh. I feel like I've not been hit with it too hard in the face.
I just never leave the house, so Christmas starts when I want it to start.
Right,
that's pretty much it. Yeah,
when is that?
December the 24th.
Right. Okay. Good Lord, a very, very it's one and done Christmas.
Well, yeah. I think we talk about this every year about the decorations, it's a big thing because the kids are still too little to really help. So you say to them, help
Get
me
out.
Hang the baubles. They break half the baubles, you know?
That's such an excuse. Like, you just get them. Look, if you can get your kids to work, P-Flax, put them to work. Do you know what I mean? They're
I put them to work, but they're fucking hopeless. It's sometimes worse having a bad employee than having to do it yourself.
That's it.
I see.
You just have to clean up after them. You're like, do this. And they half-assedly do it or fuck it up. You're like, shit, now I've got to undo their shitty attempt and then do it myself as well.
Yeah,
so sometimes
kids,
you just think
it's
not worth it.
Kids are all glory and no guts. That's the problem with kids.
That's exactly. That's such a boomer thing to say, isn't it?
It's so true, though, isn't it? Like,
kids always don't understand the value of a good hard
they
day's work.
They want to be. They want to turn around and say that they've done it, but they don't want to put the work in. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's true.
Like
kids.
That's what it's like.
I mean, we weren't grafters back in our day, were we? No, we were kids. We were idiots. It's just the same.
Speak your fucking self. I worked hard, okay, to get where I am.
I think humans. I think we're just the same as lazy as them, but we've got better at hiding it.
You get to a point as an adult where you realize there's some shit you just got to do. You don't like it,
yeah,
but you got to do it. It's like when you're a kid and it's, you know, someone, your parents say to you, we got to go to granny's house today. You think, fuck that noise. Why would I want to do that? That's going to suck. Granny's house is boring, smells of granny. And it's just like, ugh.
Yeah, but you know
but
what?
You got to do it.
At the same time, though, sure, but
smells of salmon.
It smells like salmon most of the time, yeah. But you got to find the bright side of everything, right? Every cloud has a silver lining, right? Sure.
An unusual note of positivity from Sips.
Sure.
Let's hear
sure
this.
You got to go to granny's house and it sucks and it smells like fish and stuff and nobody has fun there and it stinks and it sucks. But
and it's boring. There's no Wi-Fi.
And it's boring. There's no Wi-Fi. But on the bright side, she might have the new Sears catalog, so you can look at people in bras.
That's true,
I don't even
actually
know if Sears is still around, but that's what I used to do. And there's nothing wrong with me now. Look, I turned out fine after looking at all those mature
ladies. I used to love looking at the titties in the catalog.
So,
yeah, me
so
too.
So hang on a sec. Let me just talk. Let's talk about this for a second, because this is some fucking real talk, right?
Yeah.
I think I had a shower thought this morning.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, this is a weird one, but partly because YouTube have come out finally with their announcement that if you are making videos aimed at kids, you need to check a little box that says you're doing that. And obviously there's a bunch of reasons to do that, partly to protect kids from things, but also to protect kids from being exploited and being filmed by their parents and being made to make videos.
Yeah.
And there's lots of other massive problems on YouTube which are overdue being fixed. But also, for a very long time, it feels like the resounding sentiment that I've heard from YouTube and also been told to do on YouTube is to make your videos kid-friendly, right? Because if you make your videos kid-friendly, you get better ads. Can't mention Hitler. Can't say anything adult. Can't say bad words because you get blocked. So everyone should be making happy kids videos. And also, so many kids watch YouTube that, in fact, you need to make your thumbnails have arrows and faces and these ways because 13-year-olds drive YouTube. They click things. They click loads of ads.
They're clicking and clicking and all day long.
It is
clicking.
It is like But an adult sees a pop-up ad, they won't click it, but a kid will. And so that those things that are attractive to kids are what the algorithms push forwards, okay? And so that's why they said that, a little bit like how teenage girls used to drive the top of the pops, you know, that whatever school went to whatever song went to number one, that was because teenage girls went and bought it. It's the same, but it's teenage boys and girls clicking on things which makes YouTube videos successful. That's what we've been told, and that's what YouTube is. And we all understood that, but now we're being informed that if you're targeting kids, so if your videos are directly targeted kids, which I think a lot of people won't know sometimes whether their audience is. A little bit like when Notch originally launched Minecraft, he didn't realize, you know, he hosted Minecon in Vegas. He didn't know that his game was played by kids, and he was shocked by the amount of kids playing it. And obviously, you know, we now know that it's incredibly kid-focused game, but, you know, if we make a Minecraft video, is that directed kids? I think it's a very strange area. Anyway, I was thinking about this because I was thinking about this and then Pornhub. Okay,
right. Jesus.
Of course you were.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You know how, like, there's this thing we talked about on this podcast before about the most popular kind of porn is the, like, stepsister and stepbrother
man,
porn.
I was talking about this yesterday.
No, it depends on where
actually.
You are. There's a map of porn by topic, by country. That you can look right. at. It's very interesting.
Well, I was wondering.
I feel like that would be very popular in America.
It's popular in very certain parts of America, yes. Stepsister.
Is that coming from teenagers, though? Do you know what I mean?
No.
It's mostly coming from me, honestly.
I mean, that... I don't...
All right, North America and Britain, the most popular stuff? Lesbian.
I guess my shower thought is that, I guess, like, when we were kids, like that, we had the Sears catalog, the M&S bras section, you know, and we had maybe a dirty copy
of bras and panties section. Yeah, fuck, I hate
and
that.
And we had
panties.
Who fucking says that? If we were lucky, we had a copy of Daily Sport in the woods, or we fucking had somebody had managed to get like some horrible like Dutch magazine with like some woman shoving candles up a vagina.
Nice.
You know, that was it. Do you know what I mean? You know, someone got it on a French trip or whatever. Do you know what I mean? It came from the continent. I'm not saying we were like, it was censored, but it certainly wasn't easy to get your hands on porn when we were kids, right? Or teenage, even teenagers. Like it was trickier, and the internet was really only dawning for us. And, you know, it wasn't really
well,
until...
Well, it was like top shelf stuff, right? Like the magazine.
Yeah.
The magazines, like at the convenience store wherever you used to get your magazines from. It was like they were on the top shelf, and they had that like that barrier thing. Remember?
Yeah.
You used to have to dare people to go in and buy them.
But equally, I feel like there's this we're being told, we're constantly being told like that things are happening like kind of in the world that obviously like in Japan, you know, men aren't interested in women because like, you know,
if you look at their porn searches, do you know what the number one is in Japan? Hentai.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I'm looking at the data right now.
He's got the data, folks.
China and Japan, it's hentai.
He's got the data, folks.
It's teen.
We got this generation growing up. Well, I sound like a boomer, okay? I do here. But I guess like I'm interested because it does make me feel detached now. I'm a bit older from what kids grew up with today. And, you know, we've had, you know, 10 years of internet porn. That's like a whole generation of kids growing up with very access to, you know, stuff on their phones that, you know, we could only dream of back in, you know, when we were teenagers. And they can get it a lot younger than us. Like, you know, there's kids, I was thinking, you know, this morning about like kids growing up with iPads and how cool that is and having access to Wikipedia. But then again, like I was on Wikipedia yesterday looking at something and suddenly I was like, it was like a shock site. Wikipedia for me has now become the place where I'm exposed to the most disgusting images by accident. I think I was clicking around about something and some guy died and I was like, oh, I wonder what that disease is. And I clicked on it. I was like, ah! Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's obviously an important resource. And I remember it reminded me of a time when I was like, I don't know, I was like 7 or 8 or something. And my mum had these like medical grade textbooks, you know, on a shelf.
Right.
And I was obviously as a kid, I was like rummaging through stuff, just bored, looking for stuff to do. And I obviously opened this fucking tome and it was like a dictionary. And it had like a picture on there of some guy covered in sores or something. And it was like something pretty gross. And I remember it as being this moment in my childhood that was like, not traumatic, but certainly like, like unpleasant, and it didn't affect me. I remember it now. I don't know if it hurt me or anything. I'm fine now. Kids are very resilient, etc. But like, I'm just, you know, I think that I read this whole bunch of stuff about self-improvement, and I don't really watch porn anymore because I read that it was very bad for your brain, like very like kind of poisonous for you, and I sort of believed it,
right?
And so I don't know. I just what do you guys think about that? Because you have kids, I suppose.
And I watch a lot of porn as well. What do I think about it? Let me think. When I decide to turn on and watch some porn, my brain doesn't really come into it at all. My donger sends a message to my brain that says I'm ready to rock and roll, and then my brain goes into like this autopilot mode where like it goes through the checklist of things that need to happen before we could turn on the porn and just start, you know, squeezing my hog.
And we're back to your hog. There's a series of guidelines for squeezing the hog. You know, it's a heavy goods vehicle, so you need to ensure you've
got to get your eyes checked.
Got the correct safety equipment.
Run through the mental checklist.
Yeah, you got
to. It's like like preparing a ship to leave port, you know?
That's right. And then, yeah. You got to see, like, is
has get everything
everybody,
squared away.
Has everybody left the
squared
house?
Squared away.
Check.
Engines, check.
Have I closed all the curtains? Check.
right.
You know, there's other things that you gotta check, right? You gotta set the mood. You gotta get ready to rock and roll.
The mood for sneaky
light the candle, watching. Check.
You gotta light the candles.
The candles, get the little potpourri bowl going in the corner.
That's
there.
The one. Yeah. That's the one.
Prepare pleasant the moist music. Towelette.
Yes.
Get the porn music going.
Yeah. Get the mood music going.
You gotta break out that 2-liter bottle of Crystal Pepsi that everybody thinks is just like a bottle of Crystal Pepsi, but really it's lube in there. You put lube in there.
Oh,
that's clever.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because
you're gonna fuck it.
Because everybody in your house hates Crystal Pepsi.
I've never used lube for wanking. I don't know why you need lube. Maybe it makes it better. It just seems like it would be super messy.
Well, I mean, it's... Well, okay. Go on, Lewis. What were you gonna say about it?
Well, first of all, some people are circumcised.
Wow.
So, you know, you've got to consider that.
What, they need lube if they're circumcised?
Yeah, because they don't have a foreskin.
I understand that. But I'm just saying, you know, I didn't realize that they needed lube to get off. That sucks.
Yeah, you definitely do.
Shout out to all the circumcised guys out there jerking it with a dry hand.
Once you've lubed once, you'll never go back. Flex.
It's a different experience.
It is a different experience for sure. And
I'll give it a go. I'll report my findings back.
A very pleasant one, I might add.
Why wait?
Very pleasant.
Yeah, all right. Here, let's see if I can get a zip sound on the Triforce. Did you hear that zip?
Yeah, heard it.
It was very disappointing. Very unsatisfying.
Not a very cool zip
sound.
It's a well-worn zip. It's an old.
In movies, they always add this artificially.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the time in movies, I think they film something and it's like, yeah, that doesn't sound enough.
It's all foley
like
work.
Chainsaw. Yeah, everyone always adds.
It's
all
like,
that
you know
shit.
That fucking squeaky gate noise that they put in every friggin' movie? Someone opens a gate. Once you've heard it, you'll hear it in every. No, it's like a eep, like that. It's just a really quick squeaky noise. They put it in every fucking film. Once you've heard it, it's like the Wilhelm scream. You can't unhear it. It's a stupid sound effect that the lazy Foley artists out there, you know who you are, use it because they think it's funny to put the same fucking clip in every time. Lazy fuckers. Get out there, get a microphone, get a squeaky gate and make your own. Don't fucking use the off-the-shelf stock shit.
There are a bunch of sound effects that I've, over my 35 years, come to recognize as well. Like there's a bunch of explosions and certainly gun sounds, like shotgun sounds, stuff like this, like and reload sounds. Like they're the same fucking ones that have been used for like 25 years. And you know, a shotgun doesn't sound like a shotgun if you don't, you know, do a and the fucking, you know, the same.
What annoys me is that the guy's always cocking the shotgun. I'm like, what? Were you not ready to go? You know what I mean? You didn't cock it before you went in there. You decided you're going to cock it just before you shot the lad. Just fucking put one in the chamber. What are you doing? Don't clown around. Just be ready.
They like to use that shotgun reloading sound in like memes and stuff too, don't they? Like that,
yeah.
Like that reload sound. They use it. in memes.
Overused. So anyway, half an hour ago, I mentioned an interesting thought I'd had.
Right. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
So go on, then.
Yesterday, we went to Sainsbury's. We had to pick up a few odds and ends. And my I said to the girls, you can buy a bag of crisps each for lunch tomorrow because we're almost out of crisps. So my youngest gets...
What a treat.
I know. She gets a bag of prawn cocktail. Shout out, prawn cocktail crisps.
Okay.
It's a lot of shout outs today.
Like, you need to discipline that.
What's
child
wrong with prawn cocktail?
What's not wrong with prawn cocktail? Nothing,
you read an article that says every time someone eats prawn cocktail, it shaves 6 months off their life or something.
No, it's just my personal belief that anyone who likes prawn cocktail is probably going to be a serial killer
I love
in the future.
It. So watch yourself.
What makes you think that? That's an interesting line of thinking. From a guy who I would say traditionally would fit the serial killer description. Walk me through this one. I wanna know more.
Like, it's a small niche of people who enjoy a very weird taste.
Right.
Right? And it must have come from somewhere. Like they probably had a traumatic experience that led them down that path, an untreated mental disorder.
Right.
Or they're just a nan. Like, do you know what I mean? They're old before their time. Is your daughter like, does she like knitting?
No. My eldest bought a bag of Quavers.
Yeah, Quavers are acceptable.
Reasonable choice for a child.
But it was a grab bag of Quavers.
Shucks. And well, she's a kid.
Right, but
was she
going to
eat like the man size one? No.
No, I'm just saying.
You don't want that for your children.
Grab bag is big, right? That's the one the way you can.
Oh, the huge bag.
I thought you meant the little bag.
No. This is about, it's only slightly bigger than a normal bag of Quavers. But it has grab bag and a picture of a little hand going, like grabbing the crisps. Now I'm thinking, just because there's more in there, does that mean you have to eat them like Shrek eating a bag of crisps? Like, what is the instruction? Why is it a grab bag? What has changed? Just because there's more of it, suddenly I'm putting my whole hand in and grabbing handfuls of Quavers to shove in my mouth all at once. Because I eat my crisps two fingers, like my fingers are like chopsticks.
One at a time.
I reach in, in it goes. Are you grabbing a handful and just going
no.
and shoving them all in?
I use two fingers to pinch them so that I have less to clean up after I finish eating.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm saying this grab bag
you
is
can
implying.
Just, you could just run your two fingers like under a running tap, right?
Yeah,
and rinse them off and you're ready to go.
That's what I'm saying.
I used to know someone who would open the bag and then crush up the crisps inside into a crisp crisp tritus, they called it, and then they just pour it into their mouth.
It'll
be like a quick
disgusting.
Yeah, that is
animal.
Gross. That is, point me at that person.
Animal of the year.
Point me at that person so I can do a GBH.
I don't know if the grab bag. First of all, I think the grab bag. No one should be fisting their crisp packets, you know, grabbing fistfuls of crisps. That's madness.
I don't get it.
If you offer someone a bag and they put their fist in there and grab a hand, like a popcorn fistful of, I mean, a popcorn fistful is fine in the cinema. Like if you're grabbing someone else's popcorn, you're having like a lot.
Yeah.
But even that's rude, right? That's rude. If it's yours and you're sharing it, maybe you can do that. And then you can hold you can eat out of your hand for a while, you know. But straight from the fist to the mouth? No.
I don't get it.
I mean,
who eats like
is that?
That
a search term? A popular
fist
search
to mouth.
Term?
Very popular in Lebanon, apparently. No, I'm looking at the map here, and I'm a big fan of BBW, right? I like the larger ladies, big booties, big tits.
Oh, I thought that was a type of crisp.
No.
The only
country in the world where that is a popular search term is Somalia. Shout out to Somalia.
Man,
to Somalia representing the BBW.
What else are we shouting out today? This is too many shout outs. It's like
shout out to Quavers.
It's like being at
bag.
The MTV Awards in the 90s. Like the amount
of
shout outs.
What if you got to get shout outs? They're free. It's free. I'm just giving them a shout out. It's free.
We can give shout outs.
You can give a fucking shout out right now. You're jealous you got no one to shout out.
All right, shout out to all those people out there who aren't shouting people out for every goddamn thing. I mean, who cares? Jeez.
I'm shouting out a whole country here.
Yeah, well, good for you. We don't need any more shout outs. We've had enough now.
I'll give as many shout outs as I want to give.
All right.
Jesus. All right, look. I think the grab bag, I think the idea.
Shout out to grab bags!
fucking grab bags.
You can.
Grab
it's
bags.
Like the fucking. It's like the big gulp, right? It's just a way to get people to eat more of your product and pay more of it in the under the guise that you're going to share it with someone. But actually, you're just going to eat the whole fucking thing yourself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? No one's sharing fucking grab bags.
It's the icon of the little grabbing hand. It's like, ugh, get in there, grab these
crisps. Like share. No, but it's a sherry bag. That's the point. It sounds like it's got this illusion of sharing, you know, whereas actually it's just
more
greed,
yeah.
Fatness. It's like ex-king size, you know? Do you feel like a king now you're eating a king size one? No, just fatter. Do you know what I mean?
My God.
But kings are fat, like you.
Oh,
like,
my Lord.
I don't know.
Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll grab my king size hog anytime I like.
Yeah, I'll grab my king size hog as well anytime I like.
So let me talk about food for a second, right? I went to, when I was on holiday, I went to a sushi restaurant, okay? And I had some nice sushi.
Right.
Now, this is
where did you go on holiday,
which,
by the way? You didn't mention.
Private.
It's private.
I'm keeping it.
It's a secret.
I'm experimenting with the idea of keeping something in my life private. This is another thing I want to talk about. But I went on holiday, but I'm not telling people where I went. And I've told a few people. I want to see how soon it gets out where I was on holiday.
Wow.
Because right? It wasn't anywhere weird or anything. Oh. It was just fine.
I bet it was fucking weird if you're keeping it a secret.
You left the country though, right?
Yeah. I went to a nice place. It was nice. It was sunny, really sunny. Anyway.
Portugal.
Close.
He had sushi. I don't think they have sushi in Portugal.
What? In the whole of Portugal?
In all of Portugal,
it's
yeah.
a coastal fucking country.
He went to fucking Spain.
Everyone's already out.
I didn't know.
Did you actually go to Spain?
But it's where else is sunny?
Yeah, we're all like to fucking Spain anyway.
Oh my God, you are such a fucking chav. Like, where did you go? Where did you go?
I'm not telling you. I was slightly embarrassed.
Did you fucking wear your tracky bottoms every single day while you were there too?
I did.
Fucking
I walked around on the beach.
Fucking
Spain is nice. Don't flame it.
It was nice. It was really nice. Anyway,
you know what? Shout out to Spain. Shout out.
Don't flame Spain.
Uno shout outo al Espano.
Oh,
there you go.
What's the fucking search term in Spain? P-Flex, look it up.
Anal.
Right.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Straight away.
What do you think the biggest one in Italy is?
Oh,
have a think. Think about cultural stuff. It's not priests or anything
like
that.
Pasta, pizza.
Think about the Italian mentality when it comes to women.
Hairy.
No.
Aloof.
Banana in Mamma Mia. No.
it's MILF. MILF.
Oh, right. MILF. Of course
banana,
it would be, yeah.
Banana in Mamma Mia, yes.
Banana.
Please tell me it's
close.
That.
Put the banana in a Mamma Mia.
Is it MILFs?
It's MILFs.
Is it... I can't believe it.
I love
that.
I love it. I love MILFs.
Of course it is. Mamma Mia. Of course
it
is.
That's a really 90s term as well, isn't it? From American Pie. Fucking MILFs.
It is.
Fucking MILF, dude. First break with MILFs. Fuck yeah, dude. It's fucking.
Yeah.
As I've gotten older, I found that the MILF porn is definitely more attractive to me to watch than it was when I was a younger man.
Right.
Because, you know, why would I want to have sex with a
this
MILF
your
when
age
I'm
range.
20. Yeah.
Well, this is why I think that the kids are watching the sister stuff, man. I don't know.
I don't know if that's sisters.
It.
Do you reckon?
I'm just wondering, because I'm so confused. I find that incredibly repulsive, the whole idea that it could even be vaguely incestual. Like,
right, but first of all, she's a stepsister. You're not related by blood. I would assume it's like, because here's the thing, divorce is so big
still
in America,
not cruel.
Right? I agree. I'm just trying to think of the logic behind it. There's a lot of divorces in America, a lot of broken families and stuff like that. It's a real modern thing. So all these kids, like, you know, his side of the family's broken up. His dad remarries. And now the woman he's remarried also has a child from a previous relationship, a daughter. So now you're stuck in a house with this hot teenage girl. And of course, now she's technically your sister, so you can't fancy her. So they go to the internet. That's all I'm saying.
It's the forbidden
fruit. Yeah, the forbidden fruit.
I think maybe that's it. I'm just trying to rationalize it because I don't like the idea that all those people out there, like that search term, I can understand the pervs, all the nerds, like Overwatch. That's the other one as well. Like obviously that's largely played by kids and stuff like this. And it's like hentai, I think it's fine. But like, I think it's an idea that so many people are kind of into something repulsive. I'm just trying to rationalize it and say, okay, who is this? Where is this coming from? And the answer is the people who control the internet. That's right. Oh, teenagers. No.
I don't know if it is teenagers watching all the porn, in all honesty.
You don't know?
I think
there's
is.
Definitely a lot of teenagers watching porn, but I feel like there's lots of older dudes watching it too. I would say that it's mostly dudes. I know that like a lot of people are like, oh, women it's watch porn dudes. Too, but I think it's got to be majority consumed by dudes, right?
Well, yeah. In Nepal, it's almost all women.
Right.
Wow.
There's like five people in Nepal that actually have the internet. So,
but in Europe and America, and the whole of Russia, Australia, a lot of South America, it's actually 26% of the viewership is female, or just slightly under that, 20 to 26%. But in parts of South America, in Brazil, and a lot of Africa, and the whole of India and China and all that area, and Greenland, it's above average. A lot of women watching porn.
So, it's a sushi restaurant, right?
Yeah, this is more interesting than porn, for sure.
The often abroad, they have a very laissez-faire attitude towards if you're a vegetarian or a vegan, okay? You can tell them, and they'll usually be able to give you something. But I'm really more of a, when I'm on holiday, I just don't want to not die of nuts. Like, I had a couple of times when I actually did have allergic reactions to nuts. Like, there was a thing where a guy brought me a smoothie, and it was like, I had like a banana, strawberry, and I think it was like avocado or something smoothie, right? And I was like, okay, that sounds weird, but I'll have it, sure. And so I drank it, and then I started to get really itchy, and I knew immediately I'd eaten some nuts, and I couldn't figure out what it was. It turned out that he'd used walnut milk in it. And I was like, the fuck is walnut milk? Like, where did you even get that from?
He just said nut milk. He just jizzed on it. That's all that happened.
I think he put nuts in it, walnuts in it, just in the smoothie. Just hadn't told me. And so that was one time. And then there was another time, like...
So what happened? Did you break out in hives and stuff or what?
Yeah, well, yeah, a little bit. I get really itchy throat. It's like awkward feeling. It's like really... like heartburn and stuff. Anyway, it was horrible.
But they must have nut allergies in Spain.
They do, they do. But they have a sort of more, we don't give a fuck attitude to some.
Lawyer up, Lewis.
A dietary requirement.
I can't believe you went to fucking Spain on vacation.
Anyway, so that's one thing that happened. It happened again when I had some like churros or something, and which I shouldn't really have anyway because they're like made with butter. But, you know, fuck it. It wasn't... Yeah, I'm not one of these guys who's going to not eat anything or just eat a fucking banana or be a bitch about it. If someone, like, brings me food... The thing is, like, there's this thing about vegans, which they say... You know, imagine, like, you're a vegan and you order the wrong food, which happened to me, like, for example. And rather than not eat what they brought you and that thing being thrown in the bin and then them making a whole separate thing for me to eat, I'm just going to eat what they fucking give me, right? Because I guess my parents brought me up to not be a dick. Okay? Right.
They fucked up.
If someone brings me some food and it's wrong, I'm going to be like, sure, I'll eat it or whatever. I'm not going to order more. I'm not going to faff around. I'm usually going to be okay with it. Anyway, this thing happened. So I was in a sushi restaurant, which I like. I like sushi because you can get vegetarian sushi, and Japanese food generally is very easy to go vegan on, right? Because it's just rice and vegetables, or like, you know, you can get like edamame beans. You know, you can get like a bunch of stuff, like just some leaves in some fucking soy sauce. It's a piece of piss, right? Usually for me.
Yeah.
And so I ordered like this vegetarian sushi, and it was like, you know, it was like a sushi section. So it was like, you know, I'd seen someone else on one of the other tables have it. Okay. And obviously I was ordering it in the menu in Spanish, and I sort of pointed at it and said, I vaguely pointed at it and said vegetarian sushi to the guy. And he obviously didn't understand me. And anyway, what I got brought was, which I found out when I got the bill later, was actually the modern sushi.
Right.
Okay? Now they were like, so on the menu, I remember there was like vegetarian sushi, traditional sushi, and modern sushi. And it used to be that I would eat like these sushi sort of selections, right? You go, because we used to go out with Humble, and sometimes even still do. And they have like an omakase, which means kind of chef's choice. It doesn't actually mean that. It sort of means we'll cook. But anyway, it's a thing. That they bring you a selection of whatever the chef's recommendation. And you remember, Sips, we went to Vegas.
Yeah.
And we had a Vegas omakase, which was in a sushi place there. And they bought this incredible plate of sushi.
Man, that was a fun trip.
It was me, yeah, you, Duncan, Redacted, and Redacted were there, and it was a great. It was actually a really fun trip, though, wasn't it? Vegas.
And you had a bowl of
rice. Yeah, okay, that's right.
And we had loads of crazy stuff, and you just had a bowl of rice, and it was funny as fuck, and we all laughed about it a lot at the time.
Yeah.
But I actually remember that being a little bit gross. Okay. Now, here's the thing, like. I remember going to sushi restaurants, and all the time, I really like the experience of eating, but the fancier it is, the grosser it gets, okay? And I've had this experience so many fucking times, and I sort of came to a realization that the food they were bringing me was just unpleasant. Like, and the same thing when you go to, like, a fancy French or English restaurant, they bring you stuff. Like, the most fancy food in the world, okay, let's just pick the two most expensive and fancy foods in the world, caviar and oysters, both of which immediately turn my stomach, just the thought. And even before I was a vegetarian, I just, they're very strong, very fishy, like slimy, like these are not positive, like, things, yeah. You know? Give me a fucking bag of Quavers anytime. I would rather have a fucking grab bag of Quavers and stick my fucking fist in there than have to eat oysters or mussels or fucking caviar or also some of these things that they make at, like, posh restaurants, like sweet meats and things like this, which are like fucking basically the internal organs of fucking birds or some shit, like fucking deep fried in the fucking jism of a
mate, you should
fucking
have an ortolan.
Ortolan. I mean, exactly. Like, or like a century egg, or like, do you know what I mean? Any of these things that are honestly, like the, and it's a scale. Like, I guess it must be this thing with, like, fancy food. Anyway, I had this sushi, modern sushi, and for the life of me, I've had sushi all over the world. I've been to Japan. I've been to fucking Vancouver. I've been to San Francisco. These are all, like, pretty fancy places. And I've been to some fancy places with some fancy people. And it's been nice. I've had a nice time. I've had a nice experience. But their idea of modern sushi, okay, was like a little nigiri rice roll thingy and a fried egg on it. Like, just like a breakfast fried egg.
That sounds
egg,
good. Okay? I'd have and that. So, why not?
But two of those. Okay, so imagine they brought you two tiny pieces of rice with two fried eggs, right? One on each. Yeah. And then I shit you not, the other two in this modern sushi selection were two more pieces of rice with two burgers. Like, just the burger patty.
Nice.
On them. I'm not even joking you. It was like, imagine this, great. What they present you with. They bring you this plate, two burgers and two eggs with two fucking sushi rolls under each of them. And I just looked at it and I thought, this is so far away from what I ordered. Like, I ordered the vegetarian sushi. Like, if you'd brought me the traditional one with salmon and prawns and stuff, I probably would have been all right. But, like, you could not have, like, fucking misfired more on anything. It was wild. Oh, man. So I got
a question.
Yeah.
Sips. Right. What do you got against Spain?
No, nothing. I'm just joking around.
Okay.
Absolutely nothing. In fact, I'm going. I'm going. I'm not. I'm lying. But okay. But
you went to Barcelona relatively recently, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
For a thing? No, didn't you?
I thought you were going to say, like, oh, you know, because the first thought when you think of British people going to Spain is they're going to go to, like, one of the big resorts with all the gammon people and just sit there getting pink and then drinking at the Irish pub and having a fry up. I get it.
Yeah.
But that would be like saying that if you came on holiday to Britain, you're just going to go to Blackpool.
Which,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Which a lot of people do.
Why would you?
What really set it off for me, this sushi, was that they just handed me a knife and fork as well. Like, they put the plate down and handed me a knife and fork. And I was like, what am I looking at here? You know what I mean?
I can imagine
they just got it so fucking wrong.
The Lewis rage. Oh my God.
Yeah, I can imagine that too.
I just picture it in my head.
I just sort of looked up at it. Like, I was so stunned. I couldn't process it.
I have a laugh with you.
It floored me. It was like one of those times where I laughed in disbelief, right? And sometimes I was watching this thing on fucking Netflix. I watch a lot of these criminal things, right? And they get this guy, and a lot of the ones that I watch are like the real life ones. Like, I was watching this thing about John Dedanyuk or whatever his
John
name
Dedanyuk.
Is.
John Dedanyuk, yeah, I watched that. That was really good.
On Netflix. About this. So he was basically the very last kind of Nazi.
Oh yeah,
kind of
I wanted
criminal.
To watch that actually.
Do it. It's really good.
I was gonna watch it. And I was like, I was
I can't speak. It's so emotional. No, I was going to watch it. Okay. I like the look of it. I turned on Netflix one night and I saw that and I was like, holy shit, this looks pretty good. So I went to my wife and I said, look at this. This looks pretty good, right? And she took one look at it and she's like, I'm fucking sick of Nazis. And I said, all right.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's too heavy. I just want to watch something light. You know, I'm sick of all these Nazis. And I just sort of did like a quick mental inventory. I was like, okay, what have we watched recently that's had nothing? And so I made the joke. I was like, oh yeah, I know. You must be exhausted because of all like the fucking Nazi movies we've been watching recently. And then she was just like, ha ha, very funny. I know, you know, I'm trying to make a point that I don't want to just like my whole life to be watching all of this heavy shit all the time, you know? Like,
I think she just didn't feel in the mood, and fair enough.
Like, some light relief from time to time. And
yeah,
I
completely get that.
I find it very hard to find things to watch with other people. You know, we certainly when Tips, you're coming over tonight, you know, and if we were trying to watch something on Netflix, it would be like, have you seen this? Oh yeah, I watched that. It was good. I was like, okay. Have you seen this? And you're like, no. And I'm like, well, I have. It's quite good. And do you know what I mean? You'll go through it between you, you'll find absolutely fuck all to watch.
Yeah.
But no, it's basically this thing where he is this American guy who lived in America as like an auto worker for like 30 years in relative peace and tranquility, and got a family who loved him and stuff. And then they found out from this.
He's Ukrainian. So he was part of that. This sort of when the Nazis went through the German army went through Ukraine and everything, they recruited a bunch of people. They
some
were like,
young
hey,
men.
You want to join the SS and kill Jews? And they were like, yeah. Like they found plenty of Ukrainians who were nicely anti-Semitic, rolled them straight into the SS death machine, right? So this guy, Dedanyuk, was one of them. But his paperwork was all fucked up. He claimed he'd never been there, but his story didn't make sense. Like, it just did not add up.
Yeah.
And all these guys, these Israelis who were, like, survivors of the Holocaust, were like, that is the fucking guy, I swear to God. But then their stories, because these were old guys, you know? Like, their stories started to fall apart a little bit, and they didn't quite add up. They said, what do you mean? How did you get there? Like, one of the guys, they ask him, how did you get from wherever it was in Poland to America, to Florida? And he said, we took the train. And they were like, oh, the guy's fucking senile. Like, we can't trust his opinion now on anything. But that's not, I don't think, I mean, especially if you've ever
known. He couldn't remember the name of his son who died.
Right, but if you've ever known senile people,
let alone,
they will remember shit from 80 years ago,
yes,
but they will not remember shit from 80 minutes ago. That is, so right there, I think dismissing his evidence was bullshit. It's a very moving documentary.
It's very moving. It's very difficult. And it's very much, you swing back and forth in the documentary as well, because it's very much you're on his side for a bit and then you're not on his side, then you're on his side again and you're not on his side. And you could see how the people who were doing the trial had such difficulty like weighing up like what to do and whether or not he was guilty, but also all the political implications.
Yeah, this
of it anyway.
Huge public pressure. I mean, this is a Nazi in Israel on trial, which is a triumph in itself. And then it's like, we've got to find this guy guilty, but we've also got to do the right thing. Like, if we let him go and say, oh, well, you know, we can't be sure. It's like, what the fuck? Like, it was really, it's very, very, very interesting.
But one of the things that I saw a lot of in that documentary, and also I see of a lot of other times, is people thinking they know and can read other people by looking in their eyes and reading their body language.
Oh, man.
So, for example, there's these moments where, like, you know, people see him, you know, someone says something absolutely ridiculous on the witness stand, and you know, and he like smiles, right? He like, and you can tell, like, it's almost him like being in disbelief, you know, or something like this, or like laughing at the ludicrousness of what they've accused him of or said he did, or he just says, you know, you're a liar, you know, like, but some people are thinking, oh, well, you know, he's smiling
right
about the Holocaust, you know, like, and I think that's the problem. Like, people don't react the way you think they should or are going to react. And it's crazy. Like, I read this Malcolm Gladwell thing about how strangers react and stuff when you put them under, you ask them to tell the truth or lie about something that they've done or not done. And you often can't tell, you know, you could look someone in the eyes and you've got a 50-50 chance, but you think you have an 80-20. You think people think they know what other people are thinking.
I mean, the other problem is there are a lot of things that people think innately, look like lying but are actually just nerves or telling the truth. So, for example, one of the things people think is that if you can't meet someone's gaze and you're sort of looking around when you're talking, that you're probably lying. But in fact, it's more likely when someone's lying, they're looking at your face really intently to see if the lie is working and to look for any sign that they can swing the conversation and convince you. And you know, if they're losing you, then they can swap threads and try a different approach. Like that, someone staring right at you is actually less honest than someone sort of who's just looking around and talking normally. Because think about when you have a conversation with someone and you're being honest, you're just chatting, how often do you just stare right at them? I actually find that quite disconcerting.
Yeah, I don't. I rarely make heavy eye contact with anyone when I'm talking to them. Like, it's just,
I mean, it's like the only way you do it is if you were flirting with someone. Or, you know, I mean, I know when I met Sips up in Bristol last time, he was looking deep into my eyes. Like, we couldn't tear our gaze off each other, just undressing him with my eyes. And he was doing the same.
Yeah,
it was a wonderful night.
That was different.
I guess it's, yeah.
We shouldn't have mentioned that in public, actually. Sorry, that's, Sips. That's, I know you different. Went, like Lewis's holiday in Spain, you wanted to keep it private, but it's out there now.
Yeah,
yeah, it is. So I just guess, like, what I'm saying is that learning this has made me more uncomfortable about, I think if I didn't know about it and I sort of thought I knew what I was doing, like, I feel like also there's this real problem of stubborn, made your bed and you have to sleep with it. When it was these old guys and they'd identified this guy.
Sleep in it. You're not meant to fuck your bed. He's a fucking bed fucker, Sips.
There's like...
He's like the bike fuckers and the pavement fuckers, and now you got Lewis the bed fucker.
Well, when you don't have a foreskin, you know, you've got to do something.
God.
Just fuck a bed. Jesus. Lube it up. Lube it up, kids. Don't forget, if you're going to fuck a bed, lube it up.
Get a Huggies Dry Night mattress protector thing on there and just fuck your bed.
Okay.
Go for it.
Well, that's a
lube
good idea.
Up and fuck your bed.
But I guess what I'm saying is that these, certainly like in the documentary, it was that these judges and people were very much locked in on their decision. You know, you see it often when someone like a sheriff is convinced that some guy did it, and then evidence comes out that he didn't do it, but he sticks with his story. He's like, I still think you did it. And then more evidence comes out and he's like, yep, still think you did it. I was right the whole time. It's like, well, he definitely didn't do it. I still think you did it. It's like, well, he didn't, though, because there's camera work of him not doing it. I still think he did it. It's like, they can't, and no one criticizes that person for being ignorant. They're like, well, good for him. He stuck to his guns. No, fuck that guy. He's a fucking ignorant prick. He should be willing to change his mind. Sorry about that. But I feel very strongly about
that.
Did you spit
when you said that? That.
He did. He dribbled.
Oh,
you could tell.
Oh my God, I did. I did spit. I was angry. Because, like, but these things make your emotions run high. Because there's people's lives we're talking about, you know, at the end of the day. You know, I think that's the thing, isn't it? Like, we have, in the same documentary, it sort of talks about how so many of these Nazis were given shelter in America because they were useful, you know, because they knew about rockets or technology. And, you know, some of these were terrible criminals who were, like, just given, being like, oh yeah, you're useful to us, so forget about all that Nazi stuff. You're American now. Just don't do any killing.
Just don't kill anybody.
That was the interesting ending was pointing out how many Nazis went to America. Because the thing is, post-World War II, the immediate threat was not the Nazis. They'd lost. The immediate threat was the Soviets. So the Americans were like, well, if we don't get the Nazis out of there, the Soviets will, and we want them because we know the next war is coming. Like, that in their mind, it was like, we need the rockets.
And there was a mirror there that the Nazis were, you know, conquered the Ukraine and took the Ukrainians to kill the Jews. And then the Americans conquered the Germans, took the Nazis to kill the Soviets. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's such an obvious kind of,
nuts though, huh?
I don't know, hypocritical kind of behavior. But, you know, we've certainly demonized. I think post-World War II, there was this desire to rehabilitate, you know, the Nazis because previous to that, you know, it was like, well, what are we going to do? We can't kill everyone in the country. You know, we have to, we've got all these defeated Nazis. We have to denazify them. But, you know, it felt like, you know, taking a 91-year-old man and
it's closure though, isn't it? I mean, what the dude did, does he deserve to be rehabilitated? It's a massive, massive question, and I can understand why you would want
justice.
There's
so many little factors in there, and, you know, so it was just so interesting.
Fuck Nazis, man.
Fuck Nazis. I'm not saying it's good. I just think there's so many viewpoints to be had, and the more I see all the viewpoints, and the more I see all the questions, the more it kind of makes me, like, kind of, I don't know, a little bit, I don't envy the judges who have to make these decisions, you know.
No.
And then stick to their guns afterwards too. Because what's these, because it's obvious they interviewed all the judges from the original trial and they're all like fucking 85, 90 years old now. And they're all sticking to their guns. You know, they're all very much like, we're confident we made the right decision. You know, he was definitely did this, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, well, you can't ever say for sure, can you? You know,
it's a tricky one.
But they seem to feel like they did have to, and maybe they need, maybe that's part of the justice system, that you have to have this kind of this closure, this idea that, you know, once you're declared guilty, your the mind is, the thing is set to rest. I don't know, it's funny, isn't it? Anyway, sorry about that.
I gotta watch that.
Yeah, it's worth waffle, watching.
But yeah, I'm gonna watch the crap out of that one, and then I'm gonna come back, Lewis, with some of my own
some
points
thoughts
of view that are going to directly...
Sorry to end it on a bit of a downer, hey, guys. Didn't mean to...
That's the way it goes sometimes. The Triforce podcast is not a road... There's no roadmap.
No,
we just get in the car and drive.
And don't worry. In terms of ratios and stuff, we talked a lot about shitting and porn today, too. So.
Yep. So we went there early. No, quite often, that's our final destination.
Out. It balances out, so don't worry, you know, about it.
Normally, that's that we end up. We end up in poop and porn town.
Yeah,
as it is.
I'm gonna go pop out. We went to I'm Nazi pop build. Out and get myself a grab bag.
Lewis is popping out.
Gonna play the piccolo.
Wow.
What even is that? I'm now whistling.
It's the RoboCop. It's the RoboCop music. Do 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 do
do do do do.
It is.
Do 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 do. Oh man, what a movie!
I know. I know.
Christmas movie.
That's
yeah,
a Christmas
that'll be one
movie.
I watch at Christmas.
I especially like the festive scene where the man drives the truck directly into the vat of toxic waste and his face starts melting.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Great moment.
Get away from
that's
me, that's when man. I know Christmas I is just guy. Around the corner, when that man's face is melting in front of my very eyes. And I'm like,
I love
best
it.
Bit
hell
is
yeah.
when the other guy drives into him and he just smashes him into liquid.
Yes.
I love that bit.
I love that man. Bit too. That's when I know it must be Christmas Eve and the fire's crackling, RoboCop is on. Hell yeah.
Yeah. That's what it is. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Thanks. Bye.
Goodbye. Bye.